So, I was digging into the property data for early 2026, and this term keeps coming up. Insiders are calling it the separation tsunami.
It's a real thing.
And the math is just, it's terrifying. You've got this double-digit growth in cities like Perth and Brisbane, which is great. You have record equity.
But you also have a massive housing undersupply, so
Right.
rents are through the roof.
Exactly. It's created this pressure cooker. If a relationship ends now, the staying spouse who's trying to keep the kids in the family home, they're stuck.
Completely stuck. They can't afford to leave and rent, but they also can't afford to buy their ex-partner out.
Which is the mortgage prisoner effect, right? That
Yeah.
APRA 3% serviceability buffer on a single income, it's basically an instant rejection.
Yeah, you might easily afford the loan at 6.5%, but the bank has to test you at 9.5%. It's a wall.
That's not the end of the story. You were saying there are these almost like cheat codes in the mortgage world.
There are. And we're not talking about small tweaks. I mean, this is the difference between a $400,000 borrowing capacity and a $600,000 one. It's about finding lenders who just don't play by the big bank rules.
Okay, so the biggest one that jumped out at me was this 100% liability trap. It seems kind of insane.
It is.
You split with your partner, you agree to pay half the car loan each, but a major bank still assesses you as if you're paying the whole thing.
Exactly. It just destroys your borrowing power. But this is where the first cheat code comes in. It's called the Calming Debt Reducer, or CDR.
Right.
Lenders like Liberty Financial have this policy. If you can show your ex is self-sufficient and paying their share, they'll only assess you on your half of that debt.
It's not a very romantic name, common debt reducer, but that one policy could literally be the difference between keeping your home or having to sell it.
It often is. And it gets even more detailed when you look at how they calculate your day-to-day spending.
Like with credit cards, I
Yeah.
just assumed debt is debt.
Not to a credit assessor. A major bank uses what they call sensitized figures. So, say you have a $10,000 limit on your card.
Okay.
Even if your balance is zero, the bank's calculator assumes you're paying about $380 a month on it.
Wait, so I'm being penalized for money I haven't even spent.
Precisely. It just eats away at your serviceability.
Yeah.
But a specialist lender, someone like Pepper Money, they look at actual repayments.
So they look at the statement.
They look at the statement. And if it says you pay zero interest, they count it as zero. For a single parent, getting that 380 bucks a month back in the calculation is massive.
It seems like the big banks operate on what if, and the specialists operate on what is.
That's a great way to put it.
Like with child support, I read that the big banks shade that income, they discount it by up to 50%.
Yeah, because they see it as unstable. They might even stop counting it entirely once a child hits, say, 12 or 15. But a specialist will often take 100% of court-ordered support. To them, cash flow is cash flow.
Okay, so let's say we use these policies, we get the loan approval, we still need to agree on a price for the house. And this looks like a huge pitfall, the appraisal trap.
This is where I see things go horribly wrong. You and your ex get a real estate agent in. The agent says, "Great news, it's worth 1.2 million."
And you sign a legal settlement based on that number.
You do. But the bank doesn't care what the agent thinks. They order a sworn valuation, and being conservative, it might come back at 1.1 million.
Oh
So
no.
now you have a $100,000 valuation shortfall. You're legally bound to pay your ex based on 1.2 million, but the bank will only lend you money based on 1.1. You're physically short of the cash.
That is a complete nightmare. And with the market moving so fast in 2026, timing has to be critical.
It's the other killer variable. Bank valuations are only valid for 90 days. If your lawyers argue for 4 months over who gets the dog, that valuation expires.
And in a market like Perth, the prices just jumped again.
Exactly. You're back to square one. The lesson is simple. Never sign the legal agreement until you have the sworn valuation and the formal loan approval in your hand.
That is sound advice. Quickly before we finish, there's a new privacy law that kicked in March 5th about trigger leads. This seems like a big deal for people separating.
It's huge. Until now, when you applied for a loan, the credit bureaus could sell your data. You'd suddenly get calls from random brokers.
The last thing you want when you're trying to quietly sort out your finances.
Right. This new law stops that. It's a huge relief.
It really just highlights how the role of a broker has changed. They're not just courting rates anymore. They're more like financial first responders.
It's a very delicate balance. You've got the cold, hard math of evaluation that expires in 90 days, and it's colliding with the, you know, the emotional heat of a breakup. You need to navigate both.
It's all about navigating the policy that sits underneath the interest rate. A fascinating deep dive. Thanks for walking us through it.
Always a pleasure.